Hey, this is Kurt Angle, the greatest wrestler of all time and Olympic gold medalist. And you're listening to the amazing, awesome, incredible Wrestle In podcast. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Hello and welcome to Flight of Five, the show about pro wrestling top five list. I am your host, Prince Pretty Nervous, Ryan Dilbert. And today, for the first time, we are doing a three-way dance or triple threat or whatever you want to call it. I have two guests on, first of which is someone many of you are familiar with, the host of Noob Japan, our interviewer extraordinaire, and a man who has a photo with every wrestler who ever existed, give or take a few. Kieran, welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on Flight 5, but I'm still plugging away with Noob Japan and into the Wrestleverse on the Patreon and doing my interviews and posting all my my wrestling stuff on Twitter, trying to avoid getting suspended again.
And you just told me off air that this is your third podcast of the day. You're all over the place.
Yeah, we got a Noob Japan in the bag. That's going to be popping up soon. And then Into the Wrestleverse is out every Sunday, as always. We're basically spend the whole time talking about Noob Japan and Stardom, man. So excited for that show.
Sounds good. And as I mentioned, we have a second guest. He is Sean Smith, the lead singer of Raiders, formerly of the band The Blackout, host of Sappening Podcast, a show where he's joined by guests from the music industry, including members of Parkway Drive, The Offspring, Taking Back Sunday. Sean, welcome on. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you very much for having me.
Ryan, how'd you make it? Ryan, at the top of, so it's Sappening. It's like what's happening, but in Welsh. I think you need to put on your best Welsh accent and try and do Sappening.
Oh my
like
God.
Sean does on every episode.
Here we go. Go on.
Okay. Sappening.
Yeah, no. But, do you know what? It's better than some English people do it, because some English people, when they try to do a Welsh accent, they end up sounding Indian. You've done okay there, Ryan.
Okay.
So, yeah,
don't
feel too bad about that. Don't feel too bad.
I'll work on it, and next time we'll see what the growth is like. So Sean, you have had some WWE stars on your podcast for the Clash of the Castle, and what was that like, that experience?
Yeah, that was fantastic. I was like, it was like a little child's dream come true, because like I grew up loving wrestling, and then I fell in love with it again. I think WrestleMania 30 time. And I just got to go there, and my problem is, because I've been in the rock world, because my former band The Blackout did surprisingly well for such a terrible band, I kind of got blasé to being around like rock stars and stuff, like to the point with Chris Jericho. Like I'd see Chris Jericho about at festivals or whatever, and I've got a bit of a story with Chris Jericho that might be a bit interesting, but I'll tell you later if you're still interested. And so I kind of got a bit blasé with it. But then when we got invited to go down with the podcast and interview the wrestlers, I turned up and I was just starstruck by people that I've loved for years, and people like some of the new wrestlers, and it was awesome, and everybody was super cool, and it was nice to hear what bands and stuff some of the wrestlers like, because I didn't think Sheamus would be a big fan of Faith No More, but there
that's,
we go.
That's a surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask what surprised you the most about them. That's one. Did anything surprise you about like their personality or maybe some of their answers?
No, not really. They were all larger than life characters. Mm-hmm, they were all really, really nice. I've spent, he won't remember this, and he didn't remember it when I tried to recall it with him on the podcast, but I went out one night with Drew McIntyre, he was Drew Galloway at the time, doing ICW in the UK, and he spent the whole night, it was after a gig The Blackout did in Glasgow, him and Jack Jester spent the whole night fighting each other in the club we were at.
Oh, man.
Keeping kayfabe, it was ridiculous. It was spitting on each other all night, trying to punch each other. Crazy. Good times though. Good times.
And now he's singing with Tyson Fury and fucking stadium. Oh, God,
I went to that. Yeah, I went to that, and I had the best seat I've ever had. I was four rows back.
Nice.
There's a point where they show Leon Edwards in the pay-per-view. and I'm in the corner going,
and we'll have to go look at that.
Yeah, when Tyson started singing, I was like, ruined it. No, please don't. But yeah, it was a great day, though. It was. They should do another one very soon in the UK, I think, because that was amazing.
It was a good night. It did a really good gate, and there's a lot more buzz. I don't see a lot of buzz about WWE shows in my circle, but that one got a lot more attention. Drew McIntyre, you mentioned him not remembering hanging out with him, but he has to be one of the nicest guys I've interacted with over the course of this, which is always kind of surprising because they're so big and scary. And, like you said, they're fighting all the time and then just a warm, sweet guy. And you're like, that's not what I envisioned seeing.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to, I got invited to go and see ICW in Nottingham once by Grado. And so I went up and I met Grado and he introduced me to Sabu. And he was like, oh, Sean, do you know Sabu? And
oh,
I was like,
no,
how would I know? Yeah, how would I know Sabu? He's never in Wales. Yeah, I've never seen him wrestling on the streets of Wales.
Wow.
And then, so we ended up going to a bar after, but at the same night in the Nottingham Arena, WWE was there. So we were sitting in the bar. It was like me, Grado, my friend Scott, my friend Chris, and one of Grado's other friends. And then all of a sudden, Finn Balor and at the time, Adrian Neville came in. And they came over and they were chatting to Grado or whatever. And then they came over and introduced themselves. And I was like, oh, that was very nice. They didn't have to. Like, we were all like, oh, fuck it. There they are. Oh, my God. It's Finn Balor. It's the leader of the Bullet Club. Oh, no. But yeah, they've all like I haven't met one that's been a dick yet, which is a bit sad, really, because I'd like them to keep kayfabe, smacking about a bit.
Okay, that's a challenge out there. You hear that, wrestlers?
yeah, bring it on.
Okay, before we get into our three sets of top five list, I want to make a quick note about our Patreon. For just $1 a month, you can get early access to Flight of Five, Noob Japan with Kieran, All Elite Listening, Puro Vision, The Ocean Cyclone Show, and then we have Into the Wrestleverse, which is our Patreon exclusive show. Sign up today at patreon.com/wrestleinn, and I will give you a slight peek behind the curtain. There are more perks coming on the way. We are working on it. We're cooking things up, so get in and get rolling. And our topic today is which five wrestlers would you want to be in a band with? So this is a perfect one for Sean, who has in a band, has been in bands, is the musical expert of this trio. Wow. So Sean, when you're looking to form a band, obviously you want someone who plays the instruments well, but what else are you looking for a band member?
To begin my list, because
in general, like in real life, when you're forming the Raiders, what are you looking for?
Somebody that can write all the songs and then the other three just copy. just enthusiasm, personality. I want a big personality in the band, yeah, dedication, I guess. So.
Oh, that seems important.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see on this list now.
I can see how that translates. And Kieran, this list reminds me of me and Trent did one about Joshi basketball players. And we don't really know how well many wrestlers play basketball, the same way we don't know how many wrestlers play music. So how did you go about figuring out your list?
At first, I was going to do people I like, kind of like Sean said, big characters and stuff like that. And then I kind of was like, okay, actually, let me make a proper band. Like, I need a drummer, I need a guitarist, I need a singer. Uh-oh. And then I kind of probably took the less fun route.
Okay.
But I've got at least two people in there that I've got more for their character and everything. But yeah, I've kind of taken it like I've got a drummer, I've got two singers, I've got like two guitarists or a guitarist and a bassist. It's very Western based from me list, which is obviously, Japanese wrestling is the thing I love most, but I kept it quite Western, between WWE and AEW mostly. So yeah, it's a different list to me, shall we say.
Okay. I did a similar route because my first list is like all vocalists. Yeah. Just because you see wrestlers sing more than you see them play a bass.
Yeah.
Like they, for, you know, in the context of a wrestling show, you might sing, but you don't often play instruments. So I know some singers, but that, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have five singers. So I try to mix it up. Let's do some honorable mentions. If you guys have any, Sean, anybody not quite make the list, but you wanted to shout out.
Oh, yeah, I think Dean Ambrose would be, or John Moxley, as he is now, would be a fantastic frontman of a hardcore band, because he would be unpredictable. And yeah, I'm sure he's not afraid to get up close and personal with the crowd. So yeah, John was on there. Mr. Perfect, because...
Oh.
Yeah, he's perfect. So I'd imagine. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, wait. Oh, my list is out of left field. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I haven't gone for, like, who would be genuinely a good band. I've gone for, why would I pick him? Yeah, Mr. Perfect, because he's bound to be good at whatever you put him on, because he's perfect. So, yeah.
Yeah, he did that whole vignette where he'd do basketball, perfect. Tennis, yeah. Perfect. Everything. So then he could just do another one. Guitar, done. Easy. Drums, done.
Yeah. Singing.
Perfect.
Yeah. He could be the whole band. You don't even need anybody else.
just have five Kurt Hennings.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fantastic. And he was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up as well. Yeah. Oh,
excellent. Mr. Perfect and the Mr. Perfects.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. Any more on your side, Sean?
No, if you keep, you go between you, and if I think of any others, I'll...
Okay, you'll hop in. Kieran, what about yourself?
So obviously, like I said, I avoided too many Japanese in my list. So, you know, you've got someone like Tai Chi, whose gimmick is that he comes to the ring and he's this operatic mask and stuff and sings himself to the ring, even though the microphone isn't switched on and it's just playing on the speakers. I thought someone that would be really fun, but I didn't know where to put him in my band, is Sami Zayn. You know, he had the whole scar thing when he first joined NXT and everything. He'd just be such a bubbly, fun fucking character to have on stage. Like, his enthusiasm and energy would be off the wall. And then, like, you know, in the world of Japanese women's wrestling, the Joshi, like, so many of them are former singers and idols. Like, the list, you could easily make a list of the top 20 people you'd want in a band from them alone. So, you know, I didn't include any of them, but there's so many Japanese women wrestlers that would be perfect for a band.
Yeah, my initial list was like, okay, this is very Tokyo Joshi heavy. This is... Because that promotion, that promotion is a lot of women who are singers, pop stars, and wrestlers. Like, Yuki Arai is in a pop band. Obviously, she would be good. Miya Watanabe is, like, the best singer of the Up Up Girls. She has high energy. Even the ring announcer they have can sing really well. But I don't want to that's another show.
Yeah. Tokyo. Cheating.
Just all of them. And Brody King, I don't know if you've heard his music.
He was going to be, he's my front man.
I'll pause on him. But I was like, I don't know if I want, I'm not sure if I want that hardcore of a vocalist. If you do, he can do that. But it sounds
you
like
could have a, you could have a singing guitarist or singing bassist or drummer.
Yeah, both. Mm-hmm. So options available. Okay.
Honorable mention, Shawn Michaels. Like, he sung his own entrance music. He's got something going on, right?
That is true, yeah.
He's one of those guys where my fandom for him is very high, but if in real life, I don't think we would get along.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
There's some folks like that. I don't know if we would vibe.
One more honorable mention for myself. Ric Flair, he could have been the greatest frontman of all time. Like, he's like the reason people love Liam Gallagher is for the arrogance that Ric Flair has or had. Like, like all those promos and like Ric Flair being Ric Flair is like, well, look at Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is the Ric Flair of UFC, of MMA.
Yeah.
So he would have been a brilliant frontman. Doesn't matter if you can sing, because it hasn't stopped Liam Gallagher. And I'm still in a band. So, Ric Flair. I'm going to go with Ric Flair as well.
Okay. Well, this is, I have a feeling these lists will be quite interesting. Let's start with the list proper then. Kieran, let's start with your number five. Where did you head for that?
Okay, so my only one that's currently competing in Japan. For number five, I went Hiromu Takahashi from New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'd have him as my drummer just because he's such a crazy, fun little fucking fireball. Just having that enthusiasm and energy on the drums would be amazing. But granted, having him anywhere in your band, he's just going to up the energy levels tenfold. But I think he'd just be great at smashing the drums. You know, he's super colourful. He's got the red in his hair. You know, when they've got these shows now where the crowds are allowed to make noise again in Japan, they're sending him out first to get the crowd pumped and say, you know, it's okay, you're allowed to cheer, you're not going to get in trouble. And he's just such a fucking fireball, so much enthusiasm. Having him in like his multicoloured fucking basically dressing gown running around the stage. Well, he'd be on the drums, but he'd be fucking, you know, yeah, he'd be an amazing addition to that.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned his gear because that's so like over the top rock and roll crazy stuff he always wears. So he would look the part, absolutely. Sean, what about you? Number five.
I wish I'd thought about it in as much detail as you guys have, because I've gone for the band. What it's like being in a band, right? Okay. So I thought, right, what do I hate about drummers? Oh, they're always complaining about carrying their own gear. So I've gone for my drummer. I've gone for Andre the Giant. Because yeah, he could literally fit some air drums in one hand. So you could lug them in. You wouldn't have to pay for a tech. This is how much I'm thinking about how much they need to be in a band. But yeah, he's a massive fella. You can beat the hell out of the drums. It's a hell of, you don't even need to buy a backdrop because you've got Andre behind you. It's just massive.
Yes.
It's
stick your logo on him. It's so funny. I've gone for like one of the smallest guys in New Japan Pro Wrestling. You've literally gone for probably the biggest wrestler ever.
Well, that's what I thought when you were like, oh, he'd have a lot of energy. And I was like, oh, Andre would be fucked after two songs, wouldn't he? Shit.
You could do the young 1970s Andre. He's a lot more fit.
More agile.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture him on a little stool, bent over. We'd have to have a special setup for him.
Yeah, but that would be part of the show. You could have like some sort of giant cage to have him in, but rotates like Slipknot used to have, like some kit.
Okay.
Yeah, I've gone for. This is a warning. You've gone for thoughtful, brilliant answers you've written down, and I've gone for silly, silly gimmicks. So, yeah.
We have a little of everything then. This is going to be a good mix.
Yeah.
I am feeling self-conscious about mine because I'm like very serious. this person can play this instrument. I want them in. So my number five is Kazarian, who is a bass player, and I don't know many wrestlers who play the bass, so I was like, let's start off. I gotta have this. The bass is the glue of the band. Like, let's get that started. And I think it's kind of funny because as a wrestler, he's not super spectacular. He's kind of the glue, like a nice roster member that you need, can give you good matches. He's not gonna, you know, he's not the flashiest. He's not top of the card guy. The same way the bass player, they're necessary. You need them. But they're almost never the star. So this is where I went, Kazarian. And I've heard it. I know he can do it. So that was my thinking.
That was lovely. That was thoughtful. Genuinely, I really like that. And I'm regretting all of my life choices moment.
No, it's perfect. We got Andre the Giant, Hiromu, and Kazarian.
I'm regretting Andre the Giant.
What a dichotomy.
Oh God.
Okay, Sean, you have me very curious now with your reaction. I'd like to hear your number four. Did you also go out of left field here?
No, actually, funnily enough. I've gone for my bassist, I've gone for Mark Andrews of NXT UK, formerly on Impact. Because he actually plays bass in his band Junior, who are awesome. And let me just explain to your listeners, if you don't like me so far, and that's fair enough, I normally go one of two ways with people, right? If you don't like me, check out the video for a song called Fall to Pieces by Junior, because I did a song with the band Junior featuring Mark, and I said, I'll only do the song if we record a wrestling video and I can be wrestled.
Oh.
Yeah. So it got to the point in the video, they were like, oh, we need to put somebody through a table. And I was like, oh, yeah, do me, because that would be a good idea. And then they were like, I was like, let's do it from the top rope.
Oh,
and they were like, what? Have you ever done any wrestling training? I was like, no, I've seen Mae Young go through a million tables. How hard can it be? It doesn't. It obviously doesn't hurt. She's a really old lady. There's no way.
Mm.
And it happened to me, and it was the worst pain I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And I would never recommend it to anybody. It was very, very stupid. But it makes a very funny image. So, yes, if you check out Fall to Pieces by Junior, that's Mark Andrews' band. They're awesome. And Mark, this is why I add Mark as well. He's a good singer as well. So he could do backing vocals on the bass as well.
Yeah, and, no, Junior are fucking great. I love Junior.
Yeah, they're great. Good, lovely. The three nicest humans I've ever met.
Who's in this music video? Who's putting you through the table? Is it Mark?
No. No, it's a different wrestler. Yeah. Scotty something his name is, I think.
Scotty? I can't. Is he Irish?
No.
No, sorry. No, I know what you mean. Like, I had done a show in Southampton. Pete Dunne grabbed me out of the crowd and gave me a body slam onto some other wrestlers.
Nice.
And, like, he put me down so gently. Like, he was really, like, you know, he just picked a random dude out of the crowd, and I'm pretty skinny. But still, for like 3 weeks, my ribs fucking hurt. Like, and he barely put me down.
Oh, yeah, I completely folded in half. I was powerbombed, sit-down powerbombed through a table that wasn't, like, gimmicked at all. It was a painter's table. It was quite thick, surprisingly. And, my feet touched the floor behind my head. That had never happened before in my life. And I, when it gets cold, I have back problems to this day. So, yeah, that's why I chose Mark Andrews.
Excellent. Kieran, you are on number four. Where did you head here?
I lied about my list at the top. I forgot the reason I picked this person. And, you know, this is both smart and dumb. I went for Xavier Woods because he is clearly such a talent on the trombone. You know, but I also, in sincerity, I like it when you get instruments in songs that you wouldn't usually associate with a genre of music. Like, you know, I love Yellow Card because of the violinist in that band. It makes the music so unique. It's such a cool, like, Yellow Card is such a fucking cool band. I'm so excited to see them at Slam Dunk next year. And, you know, with Xavier Woods and the people I've got coming up, plus Xavier Woods and a trombone, I think I can create something a little bit different to the rock scene.
Ooh.
That's definitely a surprise. If you were going to include the Sami Zayn, you could have a little ska tilt there. It reminds me, Kieran, of in high school once, I went into Guitar Center and was just experimenting with different instruments, and I had like a Megadeth shirt on. And I went to the counter, I was like, can I get a harmonica? What do you recommend? And he was like, something like, so you could play a harmonica with your Megadeth? Or it was like, maybe, yes. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Like I can't do harmonicas because I like
I was about to say the harmonica clearly didn't work out for you, Ryan.
No. It's maybe the 150th best thing that I do. So we have a drummer for you, a trombonist. Let me go to mine. I'm gonna go guitar. My number four is Rich Swann of Impact Wrestling and formerly of the Cruiserweight division in WWE. I've seen a lot of clips of him on the indies where he just picks up an acoustic guitar and is hanging out with the fans and just playing around. And you can tell he's like actually good. He's not, you know, Elias level, you know, it's just, you're just playing for show. Rich Swann can play. He seems like a really nice guy, good energy. So he's on there for me. So I got a bassist and a guitarist. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I had no idea he played acoustic guitar, because I loved back on the Independence before he signed with WWE and stuff. Him and Ricochet, they'd always come out all night long and stuff, and they'd be dancing down the aisle and dancing in the ring, and he's fucking got moves, Rich Swann. So yeah, no, he'd be great in a band. He'd certainly be dancing up on that stage.
Yeah, I didn't even factor in the dancing, but you're right. Yeah, if you just put Rich Swann in YouTube, there's a video of him singing before PWG show, and then I think it's Alicia Tout interviewing him, and he's just playing guitar on the stairs. So if you're curious, it's out there.
So far we need to YouTube Sean getting put for a table and Richard and acoustic guitar.
Yeah, usually we come up with match recommendations on this show, but now it's just odd clips on the
That's what you should have done. Top five odd wrestling clips. That's a future show.
That's a free idea, Sean. Well, thank you very much.
You're fine. Free content.
Okay, let's head to our number threes. Sean, what was your number three?
Well, I've gone for The Butcher, Andy Williams, of one of my top three bands of all time, Every Time I Die. Band changed my life. I've seen them countless times in tiny venues, in massive venues. I was once lucky enough... This is a weird sentence. I was once lucky enough to go swimming with Every Time I Die and My Chemical Romance after a gig in Newport Centre in Wales.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, what a band. Every Time I Die. If your listeners haven't heard this and they're into metal, they have to check out Every Time I Die because they will shit their pants.
Yeah, I feel like if you're into metal and you must, if you're somewhat into metal, you mustn't listen to Every Time I Die. Like,
you must they're unbelievable. They've inspired so many bands after them who including my band now, I suppose, is ripping them off to some extent very, very badly. Very, very badly. But yeah, that's the problem. See, when you're such a good band, you are going to have loads of shit copies coming after. So, but yeah, what a brilliant guitarist. I've had him on my podcast, and absolute lovely, lovely, lovely human.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, he comes off quite intimidating.
Yeah, I just realized I've broken kayfabe for him. No, he was a horrible, horrible man. He punched my grandmother. I couldn't believe it. What a man.
Oh, yeah. Horrible. Good to know.
A horrible guy, yeah.
So you that's what you have. Now you have two where you have, two they can musicians. Play actual musicians. So
and Andre the Giant,
who can only guess.
Yeah.
Let me hit my number three. As people know me in my content, I'm heavy on the Joshi side of the world, and there is a Joshi wrestler named Mio Momono, who plays drums, and drummers are hard to find, I think, in real life too.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm like, there's one guy that is a drummer that recently came out with some very negative things about him. I didn't want to put him on the list. Mio Momono on the opposite side is like a very lovely person. She's like so fast in the ring. She's one of the fastest wrestlers I've ever seen. So that translates super well with drum. We're going to do some speed metal. Let's just slayer it up. And she's just so talented at everything. She's also good at basketball, wrestling, drums. Like, I'm quite jealous, but I would love to have her on.
Which promotion is Mio Momono for? Because I would have, when we was doing this, I was like, Ryan's list could easily just be all Tokyo Joshi Pro, like you said at the
top. Oh, yeah. She wrestles a lot for Marvelous. But anybody from those smaller companies wrestle multiple companies. So you can't, I don't think, make like a real living.
Seed learning and stuff like
that. You just go around. But she was injured for a long time. She's back now. Scott Edwards wrote a really great piece. If you're curious about her, you just type in Scott Edwards and Mio Momono. It'll be a nice entry point if you're curious. So one of the best and under-heralded Joshi wrestlers.
Female drummers are always cool as well. Like, especially in rock bands, you don't get many, or like, you know, there's very few female drummers in rock bands, I think.
Yeah, and Sean, like, I kind of saw you nodding when I said the thing about drummers. Like, when I was in high school, you know, we had a couple of little garage bands and stuff, nothing spectacular. But I mean, there was just nobody played drums. Is that the case everywhere?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, basically, so my first band, The Blackout, I was in high school when I started that band, and we found the drummer because our friend who worked in like a sports shop knew a guy who worked there who had long hair and said he was a drummer. So we went down, me and the four other people that were in the band at the time, went to this shop, the sports shop. We told him what bands we liked. He liked some of them and we liked some of the ones he liked. And then he tried out for the band, and then we were in a band together for like 20 years.
Okay.
So yeah, it's the hardest position to fill. Find a good drummer is because they've got to be unbelievable with all their limbs, and which normally is detriment to their thinking ability because they're normally not the brightest.
I have heard that too. And it's also like, just financially, you can go down to the pawn shop and get a $50 guitar and just learn it well enough. But if you want to play, I mean, it's a bigger investment to get a whole kit.
Very much so. And that's why, that's why I went for Andre, just because you don't know. Like, if you start a band, you have probably 3 to 5 years of lugging stuff about on your own with nobody helping you. So, and drummer's gear is the absolute worst. Why should anybody else have to carry it? You chose to play it. that's why I went for Andre, because carry your own, big fella.
Excellent. Kieran, what about you? Your number three.
My number three, I went to AEW, and I went with Max Caster, never actually said it out loud. Of the Acclaimed, of course. He, you know, raps his entrance music for the Acclaimed, and the crowd always goes nuts. He always makes it very topical of what's going on at the moment, whether it's in the wrestling world or not. You know, hopefully he can go more long form with that. You know, he's helped make the Acclaimed one of the most popular tag teams in AEW. Like, their winning the titles was incredible. And, you know, I like a bit of rap in my metal, you know, like Limp Bizkit, Corey Taylor obviously does it with Slipknot, stuff like that. You know, like Rage. I said without... Yeah, exactly. Like I said about with the violinist of Yellow Card and having Xavier Woods, like these mashups, but when they work and you don't expect it to work, like, yeah, I want some of that going on. So that's why I want Max in the band.
Okay. I didn't think that right. The whole rap side of things, because R-Truth is a rapper, and Leo Rush is a musician, more like R&B. Mm-hmm. My mind went just hip metal, rock. This is where I am. Okay. We have hit all our number threes. Kieran, let's hear your number two then. I'm very curious because you have such a weird mix here.
Yeah, so I think my number two is going to annoy Sean. I don't know as well if Sean will remember this. When they was doing Pledge Music for Hope back in the day.
Yeah.
I pledged and went backstage at Hatfield and played Xbox with you all. And you had Blitzkid spawn you as well, where I was mates with. And I beat you on FIFA in the last minute, and you were...
I remember.
You were furious.
Also, I remember all four of the defeats I've ever had. That was one of four.
But I also got... The weather was shit. I couldn't get home because trains were cancelled and stuff. So the Blitzkids fellas paid for me to get a cab home. And then they told me the Blackout guys gave my money back to Blitzkids as well. So my 18, probably year-old self was always grateful for that, being a fan of the Blackout. You guys were always fucking the nicest chaps. But yeah, sorry to annoy you. I've picked Brody King as my second. I've clearly inevitably... with not by design, basically made Limp Bizkit here with Max Caster and Brody King, kind of. But yeah, he's the lead singer of God's Hate, who are fucking incredible. And you know, it's good to have at least one person in my band that's actually got some music chops, knows how the whole thing works. And Brody King clearly does with God's Hate. He can keep us going in the right direction whilst me and everyone else has no fucking idea what we're meant to be doing. But yeah, him and Max Caster as the front man, the rap and hardcore combo, you know, I've inevitably made a wrestling version of Limp Bizkit with a trombone.
Nice. It was inevitable that he would be on here. Skilled, like he has so. The look too, you know, like he looks like a musician.
You never have a bad review either, because who's going to tell him that it's your band's not very good? Because nobody would tell him, because they'd be foolish to.
A very scary man. Nice in real life if we're going to, you know.
Oh, history. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, they're all lovely chaps, I think. And yeah, in that world, I think they all look quite mean, but they're all lovely mama's boys. They all love a cuddle.
Okay, we'll clip that part, I think, for the
that's fine. All wrestlers love a cuddle.
And Sean, is Brody King your number two, or are we waiting for later?
I'll change. I won't do Brody now. Here, I went for guitarist, for somebody who's made miming the guitar awfully very popular over the last 5 years. I went for Kyle O'Reilly, who looks like he's never seen, heard, or held a guitar in his life when he's pretended to strum along when he was in the Undisputed. But I've had him in my band for comedy purposes. Like, you would have, there's a band, the UK band Happy Mondays. They had a guy called Bez who literally just used to play the maracas, but he was in there because he was like the fellow who supplied the drugs to the band. And now I'm not saying that's what his role is in this, but Kyle O'Reilly cannot play the guitar. So I think just him being in the band, maybe he could learn from Andy and Mark could teach him. But yeah, he's brought my minimal guitar back awfully. I can't get over it. So yeah, I went for Kyle O'Reilly for a joke, because I would have had Hulk Hogan, because he was the original kind of terrible guitar mimer. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to play. He did an album where I've seen he's holding a bass or whatever in the photo. I don't know if he can play bass. I don't know if Terry's that funky, but I've gone for Kyle O'Reilly for some reason.
Am I right? I think, did Hulk Hogan have an album? Because I know Macho Man had an album, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure Hulk Hogan had an album, but I just
I vaguely remember that. Where is it? I just saw it.
But yeah, I know Macho Man definitely had one. God knows how. Oh, that must have been. Yeah.
Have you heard that, Kieran?
No, I don't think
it is.
It's rapping.
It is so bad you have to hear it.
Yeah.
It is a train wreck, like the worst thing ever. Hulk Hogan was the front man for the Wrestling Boot Band, which had a record called Hulk Rules.
Surprise, surprise.
So I doubt that's very good, but if you're curious, it's on the internet.
I wonder if you played on it, though. Like, I wonder if you played any of the instruments, or did you just come in and say, yeah, okay, brother?
I think the rumor is he played the maracas.
Oh, this picture of him is it a bass or
vitamins?
Oh, there's a picture of him with a bass.
American flag. Yeah. Has he got an American flag?
It's the bandana, the tearaway shirt, very tight pants, and sunglasses.
Oh, little Terry.
Yeah, very much very, very Hulk Hogan. Okay, I have gone kind of boring for my number two. I will. So it's Chris Jericho, who is in a band, right? Like, and you know, I see people diss Fozzy, and I'm like, do I not have taste? Because I enjoy it. I like that band.
I used to listen to Fozzy a good few years ago now. But yeah, back in the day, I listened to Fozzy.
That song "Painless" is on my like high rotation Spotify. It's a little bit of guilty pleasure, you know, slightly corny, but I like that sort of I don't know what that genre is called. It's like diet metal. Like it's a little softer than metal, but harder than rock. And, you know, I don't know if Chris Jericho wants me to call it diet metal, but that's what I think of. It's a little lighter, but he succeeded in the TV show hosting, wrestling, and a band for the same reason, is that he's a charismatic person with like a lot of star presence. So he's going to be the star. I got a lot of skilled people, but you got to have someone that people, their eyes go to. And that's Jericho for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They are pretty good live as well. I see them at Download Festival years and years ago, back when, Sonic Spirit even, which is even longer ago because it doesn't even exist anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I only watched some of it because Slipknot will come on shortly. And I just, the one thing I remember most is some dude having someone else in the Walls of Jericho, like in the mud in Sonic Spirit, in the rain whilst Fozzy played. And I was like, like mental bastards. And then I got like fucking fucked up in the Slipknot crowd because I'm a skinny, scrawny guy. So I felt for the guy in the Walls of Jericho after that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Nice.
Sean, do you know, have you met Chris Jericho? You said you met a lot
of
his
friends. Yeah, this, here we go. I did a festival in Australia called Soundwave Festival, and it was 2013, and my band, The Blackout, was on that festival, and so were Fozzy, mm-hmm. With Big Chris, obviously. So on the first day of the tour, we're playing, and I used to do this thing where I would get into the crowd and cajole with the crowd, I guess, or whatever, and mess about with people in the pit or whatever. And this guy started trying to fight me. So I ended up getting on his back and choking him out, and then security guards took him away or whatever. And this was on the first day of the tour, and the tour was 3 weeks long. So this happened, and then that night somebody sent me YouTube footage of that happening. So you can check this. Here's something else we've got homework after.
Write them down.
Yeah. If you go on YouTube and search for The Blackout singer fights while sings or something like that, this clip comes up. And so what I did, because I thought it would be funny, so I got sent that the first night of this tour, and then I tweeted that at Chris Jericho with, "Hey, Chris, if you fancy any while we're out, you know where I am," right? Thinking, haha, that's a joke, right? So I did that, didn't hear anything back from Chris, which is a shame. But on the very, very last night of the tour, there was an after party at this club. Jericho was there. And we took my best friend on the tour, Scott, and he was like, "Oh, I'm going to ask Jericho for a photo." And I was like, "Okay, cool, I'll come and take the photo for you." And as I went to, the guitarist for my band went, "Don't go over there." And I was "How come?" And they were like, "Well, remember when you sent that video to Jericho?" I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Well, he saw it, and he didn't find it funny that you were threatening to fight him." And he told our tour manager, who had previously been his tour manager, a guy called Luke Bell. He used to be Fozzy's tour manager, then he became ours. He went on to Luke and told Luke that if I went up and spoke to him, we'd end up fighting. So I thought, probably best not go up and piss off the man who had a fight with Brock Lesnar. I'll leave my friend Scott to it. So yeah, I've got a photo on my phone of my friend Scott with Chris Jericho, and it looks like the most... it's done by some sort of pervert from a bush because it's so far away. But yeah, he wanted to fight me. So that's interesting. I've never seen him since. I've never met him since. I've never been asked to have him on the podcast. I doubt he remembers it, but...
He was angry at the time.
I was terrified.
Huh.
So we're not surprising. Getting we're not getting Raiders supporting Fozzy on the next UK tour then.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Unless he Yeah, you probably have to put me in the walls or do something to me first as a get back, I guess. But yeah,
it's funny not. It's funny what sets people off, because it seems very clearly a joke.
Just come on to me. But the thing is, just come on to me. At the time, I had a big blonde haircut that looked like a giant fucking light bulb, so you couldn't miss my gigantic Welsh head anyway. So like he's bound. Thing is, I just realized, here's another unbelievable story, but sorry for the name dropping. But our tour manager had sorted it out for us to get a bus to go and see Chris Jericho and Scott Ian from Anthrax were doing spoken word together. So we get in this van, me and my friend Scott from my hometown of Merthyr Tydfil in South Wales. We're sitting there, and then Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses gets in the bus, right? And sits between us. And then we end up talking to him, and he actually knows my hometown, which is absolutely absurd. Why would one of Guns N' Roses know about the shithole that I come from? Yeah. And so we drove to this Chris Jericho, Scott Ian thing, walk past the crowd with Duff, ushered in on like Jericho and Scott Ian's security, ushered us in. We sat right to the front. Then after him, me and Scott, I just realized this was mid-tour. So we met, me and Jericho met face-to-face before I found out that he was going to fight me, but after I sent the video. And yeah, we ended up going backstage, and it was me, my friend from Merthyr Tydfil, Duff McKagan, Chris Jericho, Kerry King from Slayer, and Kerry King's wife or girlfriend, or just a woman who might have been with him at the time. I'm very sorry if I've grassed on anybody.
I don't think Kerry King's listening to this, but fucking hell.
What, yeah, ridiculous Jericho, stories. Yeah,
it's possible.
Jericho obviously didn't say anything. He was golden.
Turns out he must have been scared. So if you're listening, Chris, when you're ready, son, whenever you're ready, fella.
Okay, let's book it. Steel cage.
Yeah. To the death.
Okay, we are now at the tippy top of our list here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go myself, then Kieran, and then I want to save Sean for last because I have a feeling it's gonna be a wild one. I went with a second vocalist for my number one. I went with Maki Ito from Tokyo Joshi, and AEW fans know her. So her kind of gimmick is that she failed as a idol. She went and started singing, and she wasn't pretty enough, apparently, which is, okay, can't wrap my head around that one. And she didn't sing well enough. So now she's this rebel who is sort of an idol, but also like has a middle finger up all the time and cusses. And I like her edge. I like her attitude. All the other Tokyo Joshi girls are like real cute and bubbly and stuff. And I don't, that's not going to be my band. I want it to be a harder edge. So we could do sort of a baby metal, that band style, I think. And she also seems super fun to hang out with. Like, it's going to be some crazy parties, some crazy trips. It'll be fun times with someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, at the top of the show, you said how I got a picture of pretty much everyone. When I was in California last month, I did go to a wrestling show and met Maki Ito after the show, and she was super nice. For the longest time, I hadn't actually ever like watched her wrestle. I knew so much about her just, you know, online. And then before, and maybe it was that night, I don't know, but I didn't realize she actually legitimately sings her entrance.
Yes.
Like the mic in her hand actually works. She's singing herself to the ring. And yeah, she's got a great voice. It's really actually impressive. I had no idea.
Yeah, she trained, you know, the whole idol scene first and then came over. Sounds pretty good to me, but I'm not the expert, I guess. Kieran, what about your top pick?
So my top pick is a Japanese person, but he's based in WWE. I went for Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nice.
So get him on guitar, something like that. You know, he's noted fan of Freddie Mercury and the way he presents himself and he dresses and everything. He loves Freddie Mercury. And he's just got to be himself on the stage, you know, like act like he does in the ring. Just don't be kicking people's head off and stuff like that. Or maybe if you go into the crowd and you have to defend yourself like Sean did, yeah, it'd be all right.
If you go to a God's Hate show, you'll be seeing Brody King kicking people's heads off. So you may as well,
get Shinsuke in there as well. You know, I think he could be like the guitarist that everyone loves, that everyone fawns over. That, you know, you get those guitarists that kind of on occasion become bigger than the lead singer, they're more popular. And I think Shinsuke Nakamura could potentially be that role. Because he's so fucking cool. He's effortlessly cool, man. Like, there's just something about the guy that everyone loves.
That's a great one. Yeah, you can tell that influence from from the rock and music scene. Like that's his style. So that's awesome.
Yeah, he's almost got a touch of Michael Jackson in him as well, I feel.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that red jacket. Yeah. That he credits as like being a big fan of and basically stealing their gimmick to an extent.
Yeah. As long as it's only the good bits of Michael Jackson, obviously.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. just pick and choose.
Yeah.
So then we are now at the top of Sean's list. Where'd you go for that?
Here we go. Well, for about 5 seconds, I considered Vicky Guerrero, right?
Oh.
As my front person. Because it's a terrible scream. It's jarring, but I think that would be perfect for a noisy band that sounds something like Every Time I Die. Like her shouting, excuse me, is one of the most grating noises that have ever existed ever. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to replicate it several times and it's impossible and I'm jealous. But the person I went for as my front person, I think would naturally become the most electrifying person in music today. And I'd go for Big Dwayne, the future president of the United States.
I thought about the Rock for a hot second. Did he release a song or something?
He releases everything.
Yeah.
He's done everything, so I would not be surprised. I'm going to pull it up. He has his own energy drink, his own tequila, talk show, like game shows. The XFL is coming back. He's just so busy. I want to like get $1 million and then just sit on the couch. Like what
100%. Drives you? Yeah, like... How much money do you need to hoard, Dwayne? Like that, you can't spend all that money you've got, surely. Unless he's got the worst agent of all time and he doesn't make any money. He doesn't realize that he's the number one.
He could be a billionaire, but he just...
Yeah, perhaps he can't read. Perhaps he's never been able to read, so he can't see like Forbes and he's like, oh, who's this number one actor?
Okay, it's possible.
I don't know what that's saying. Yeah,
he doesn't
why it's realize. The Rock. He could recognize The Rock.
Yeah, he doesn't know his name's actually Dwayne Johnson. He keeps looking for The Rock everywhere. Yeah,
that is. So I found
this Black Adam film looks really similar to mine, but it says Dwayne Johnson.
He is featured on a song titled "Face Off" on a rapper's album. I don't know how to pronounce. Tech Nine. Yeah. Apparently, Tech Nine spelled with yeah, a that's nine that.
That's that. The drive. You got the power. Yeah, that lit. That one has gone viral. Yeah, it's gone viral the last like year or whatever.
He's just so driven. He just wants to just constantly do stuff.
That band is going to be a success.
Yeah.
He's going to do everything he can.
But he's just a great, great front man, great personality.
Yeah, like, that's so good. Like, he's all like, if you're going to rank the most charismatic wrestlers of all time, there's a very good argument. It's him at top.
Number one top. Yeah.
I don't know who else you would say.
So.
Like you mentioned Flair, but like the Rock still is not. Bigger. Rock is bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he translates to movies, right? Like so many, you know, Hulk Hogan tried movies, Piper, Terry Funk, Bret Hart, like they didn't have quite that presence. And now he's like the biggest movie guy, which is bonkers.
That's nuts. Yeah. And then ultimately going to become the president. Which is real mad. Yeah, it'd be the first of the Samoan dynasty to become president.
There you go.
And then we'll have to see if the bloodline can all follow him one by one.
Roman Reigns 2040.
Yeah, Jey Uso 2046 or whatever.
We'll write that down, see if it happens, and come back. Call you a prophet.
I'm almost convinced, yeah.
So let me recap our list and kind of look what our band looks like. We have Kieran's, Hiromu Takahashi, Xavier Woods, Max Caster, Brody King, Shinsuke Nakamura.
List.
What really stands out is like, what is this going to sound like? Like trombone, rap, like whatever Nakamura's doing, crazy drums. It's going to be like absurd and amazing. So I'm down. Then we have Sean's Andre the Giant on drums. Mark Andrews, The Butcher, Kyle O'Reilly, and The Rock. It's quite an interesting mix as well.
It's daft, it is. I've gone for silly. I've gone for try and be funny, Sean, and that's what I've gone with. Apologies to everybody listening to this. who's taking this serious? And what we should have done is we should have also come up with band names. Not that I have,
that's a bonus.
Okay, my band's called the 24 inch pythons.
That's fucking good.
Okay,
thank you. I haven't got Hulk in the band, but I have named them after.
You just stole
I've got one for mine based on Shin's kind of more Kings of Song style.
Oh, yeah. I'm not gonna even
my
try.
Life for nothing, gonna lie.
Not after that. I like that Sean's has like Kyle O'Reilly, Butcher, Mark Andrews, like a certain kind of like they look like rock guys.
Yeah,
and then Andre and the Rock, who would like totally stand out and like
who's more rock than
the Rock?
The Rock. I just realized
it was there.
Yeah, it's in the name. Come on, yeah,
it's fate. So there we have it. My list was Kazarian, Rich Swan, Mio Momono, Chris Jericho, Maki Ito. Seems sort of possible.
Yeah.
Maki Ito and Chris Jericho could, they know each other. They work together.
More possible than Andre the Giant.
Well,
yeah, that is true. Yeah, well, yeah, nobody specified that to be alive either.
We can resurrect him for that. We can try it.
Well, yeah, if he's coming back, perhaps he'd come back with godly powers and he'd be the greatest drummer of all time. So that's definitely what I was thinking.
Okay. If I write that graphic novel, Sean, I'm gonna give you half the proceeds. Andre the zombie drummer.
Yeah, if you make that, I'll only take 20% because that's how much I'm looking forward to seeing that come to life.
Okay, there's a deal. You heard it.
Going to be a column coming to Wrestle In soon where Brian's written or fucking another one of his actual books that he's written, and it's generally going to be Zombie Andre the Giant.
Hey, it's not a bad idea.
Amazing.
You can carry the band places. It's just, it seems like such a good
idea. Yes. Okay. Kieran, before we go, if people want to hear more of you, you mentioned some of the stuff you're doing. Let me hear some more
of
those blogs.
Wherever people are listening to this, obviously I'm part of Wrestling as well. Noob Japan every other week, Into the Wrestleverse on the Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleIn, and on Twitter at KieranRH93.
Excellent. And Sean, can you tell us about your podcast, your band, and anything else going on?
Yeah. I have a podcast called Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith. That's me. Where we talk to people. It's mainly musicians, but we've had actors, actresses, drag stars, wrestlers. The wrestlers, we've like had Adam Cole, Matt Riddle, Mark Andrews, a bunch that were at the Clash of the Castle. Check those out, they're interesting. And I have a band called Raiders. And I never left a band called The Blackout. I'm the only sole member. So I'm keeping that going.
I love that. So many good memories of my teenage years seeing The Blackout as I was
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. And you can find me on Twitter at Ryan Dilbert for as long as that is a site that exists or is tolerable. A very Joshi heavy content on Wrestle In. So if you bookmark that, you can get that. Plus, we have a lot of talented writers doing a lot of great things. I also am one of the three hosts of the Ocean Cyclone Show, a monthly Joshi show, which is quite often off the rails, quite often. Subscribe to the Wrestle In Network. It's growing. It's getting stronger. And rate us, share. And enjoy. Sean, I really appreciate you coming on. It's been a blast. You kept doubting your list, but it was awesome. It's fun.
Thank you. No, yeah, I wasn't sure because, as soon as you guys started and you had, like, written out detailed plan of attacks, and I was like, I've just gone by size for the one guy. I was like, I'm in trouble here. This is going to be awkward. But no, thank you very much for having me. Thanks for all your good work with the wrestling stuff. I love seeing Kieran's interactions with all of the fucking absolute mad wrestlers that we all grew up loving and still love to this day. And yeah, you've done a fantastic job. But thank you for having me. Check out Sapnin and Raiders. And yeah, that's it, I think. I'm Sean Smith Sucks on Twitter, which is why I can't get verified because I sound like a hater. And
you probably can now.
As long as I pay Elon, I should be fine. And on Instagram, I also can't get verified because I decided to use the name Fake Sean Smith. So there you go.
some choices there. And Karen, you are officially the person who has appeared on this show more times than anyone. So you're the current reigning defending champion of
Flight. Yeah, I'll be back to defend that title soon, I'm sure.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to it. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Until next time.